Well, the mystery character is Nathaniel Saint, or Nate to his family and friends. He was one of the first missionaries to fly with Missionary Aviation Fellowship. MAF came into existence just after World War II and was the vision largely of Christian men who'd served in the Allied Air Forces. Nate was born in 1923. He lived near Philadelphia in America, and the family consisted of seven boys and one girl. It was a strict upbringing with family prayers every day, and no excuses because of the number and the ages of the children. Mrs. Saint was from New England Puritan stock, and she knew all about the Reformed Covenant biblical pattern about child rearing. So it won't surprise you to hear that all of those eight children became keen Christians. Rachel Saint, the only girl, was 9 years older than Nate, and she often told him missionary stories. His favourite was about John G. Peyton and the cannibals. Isn't it noticeable that what an influence that particular story has had over the years? When Nate was only seven, he had his first flight, and from that moment on, he couldn't hear enough about aeroplanes. In 1936, when he was 13, he trusted Christ. He'd always known that Christianity involved a relationship with Christ, but now it became a life-changing personal relationship with the Lord, and that was something very different. Aged 14, he got an infection in his right leg called osteomyelitis, which was treated with antibiotics. And then in 1942, when he was 19, he joined the American Air Force, and they trained him as a mechanic. He wanted to be a pilot, but they used the trouble he'd had in his right leg as a reason to keep him on the ground. He was in uniform for 3 years, and he never went out of his own country, but his air-mindedness now blended with his passion to be a missionary, and he joined MAF. The first job he had was to repair MAF's only plane, which had just crashed in southern Mexico. There was only one mechanic in 1946, and that was Nate Saint. Try to imagine him entering Mexico, standing in front of a customs official who asked him why was he carrying a 7-foot aeroplane propeller underneath his arm. Well, after 6 months, he rebuilt that old biplane to be safe and flyable. Back in 1944, he'd been turned down as a flyer, but by 1948, he was being required to double up as both a pilot and a mechanic. Showing that holy impatience of a missionary, he began constructing an MAF base at Chelmera in Ecuador. It was on a piece of land opposite the Shell Oil Company's headquarters and on their airfield. Now, Shell had been in Ecuador since 1938, and in fact it was Shell who made the Christian missions in Ecuador possible. They published a handbook for their employees which described Ecuador as a country filled with dense jungle and malarial swamps, poisonous snakes, and very few roads, and that was why Shell used aircraft. And the same manual recorded that 14 Shell employees had been killed by a tribe of Stone Age Indians called Aucas. These Aucas had resisted white men for over 300 years, and the word Auca, it said in the book, was Quechua Indian for savage. The arrival of Nate and the MAF plane made a huge difference to the lives of the missionaries. He wrote in a letter that when the missionaries needed medical supplies on one occasion, he got the drugs there in 37 minutes, saving a 7-day trip on foot. Then a lady missionary fell ill, and Nate flew her out to see a doctor in a 32-minute trip. And without the plane, the lady would have faced a 3-day journey on a stretcher. When Nate was in Quito on one occasion, the local Christian radio station asked him to give a talk. Typically for Nate Saint, it was about being expendable. Hadn't many men in the war regarded themselves as expendable in the great effort to defeat the Nazis, he argued. So how could any real Christian hold back their lives from God's service? In God's work, we're all expendable, and that's the way we should be looking at it. No sooner was he back at Shellmere than he had a visit from one of Shell's high officials, who turned out to be General Doolittle, who had been the leader of the American air raid on Japan in reaction to Pearl Harbor. Doolittle was soon talking to Nate about Jake DeShazer, who'd been on a raid against Japan and, in spite of being captured and tortured, had gone back to Japan as a Free Methodist missionary. Now, as an aside, if you haven't heard the talk I gave last week about Jake DeShazer, it's on the tape if you want to hear it. Nate and 4 other men now began to feel very burdened about those Aukas, and they set up what they called Operation Auka. It began in September 1955. Nate invented a spiralling line with a canvas bucket on the end of it, which could be used to send gifts to the Aukas and photographs of the missionaries themselves to try to prepare the way for a contact. He even swooped down as low as 50 feet above the main Auka village with his yellow Piper aircraft. 4.5 miles from the Auka settlement, there was a bend in the Kurarai River, and on the bend there was a sandbar, and Nate thought, that's suitable for landing the plane. So on the 3rd of January 1956, the 5 men held a service with only themselves present, in which they dedicated Operation Auka to the Lord, and as part of which they sang the hymn, "We rest on thee, our shield and our defender." And they use the tune Finlandia. I hope you'll be thinking of them when you sing it after this. Then Nate made the very first landing on Auka territory. They assembled a prefab tree house and then they waited. And then on the 8th of January 1956, Nate spotted 10 Aukas walking along the trail towards the sandbar. The 5 missionaries were there to greet them in Christ's name. Tragically, Nate was murdered that day along with his 4 friends. The 5 were all struck down by the long black spears of the Aukas. Every man was carrying a gun. Every man refused to use it. Somebody noticed that Nate's wristwatch was smashed. 3 minutes past midday, it said, and his hand lay in the Kurarai River with the water dripping into the watch. He was only 32 years old when he died, and he left a wife and 3 children behind. That sacrifice. Amazingly, within 10 years, Nate's sister Rachel was living peacefully with the Aukas, and quite a few of the murderers came to saving faith in Christ. That's the grace of God. But the lives of the 5 martyrs always seem to readers a very high price to pay for a contact with a Stone Age tribe. Those men knew the dangers, and they knew that all pioneering missionary work is never without sacrifice. Since God blesses sacrifice, perhaps we should all be asking ourselves what sacrifices we really make for Christ.